beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord. So we can't go far being witnesses with human intervention, forming a conclusion and conviction of who Jesus is. What people tell you Jesus is cannot take you far. You need to know who Jesus is at a personal level. And then flesh and blood presents Jesus to man. Only the Holy Spirit truly reveals Jesus to a man. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The revelation of the light is done by a single person, the Father God, via the Holy Spirit. And then we also understood that the limit to which we can comprehend is the limit to which the Father God reveals the Son. The Son is the truth. Amen. And then we also got the understanding that soul winning is more work on the knees, fellowship with God, than with your mouth. Get more effective when you give yourselves to the prayers for soul winning than just, you know, equipping yourself with word of mouth.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Because in the end, the Holy Spirit does the winning. We are only partners. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we believe we are moving much more deeper this week, and we trust God for deeper revelation into His Word. To begin with, let's have a word of prayer.
Sweet Holy Spirit, everlasting Father, dear Jesus, we bless you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for all you have done for us. Thank you for how far you have taught us, much we have learned. We give you praise and glory forever in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Once again, we are at your feet, Lord, to learn of you. We ask that you teach us. Grant us understanding that we may need. Grant us revelation. Grant us insight. Grant us clarity. To your glory and praise, this shall be forever. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
We are to Jesus.
Amen.
All right, what explosion 2024 has been beautiful. We thank God for thus far, He has helped us. This is the third edition of Word Explosion. The last two editions, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we're able to look through John chapter 1, verse, 1 through 7. Yeah, in the month of April, we hold Word Explosions every year, and this was awesome. We have been on the 8th verse, Amen to Jesus,
Amen.
Since we began. And it says, He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. We have looked at other translations. We've been using the 26-in-1 translation of the Bible, published by Zondervan Publishing House, and edited by Curtis Vaughan, THD. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
So it's such a wonderful material. It's just the New Testament only, because it's kind of voluminous. Amen. But wonderful material, it helps us get, sweeter and better understanding of scriptures. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
And we've been on the Phillips translation, which says, as a personal witness to that light. as a personal witness in our life. And looking at the word personal, I've been drawing a great light from, you know, the meaning of the word personal. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus. And first part, we saw the word personal from the Merriam-Webster dictionary to be first meaning of it was of relating to or affecting a particular person, and that was private, individual. We've looked at that. Then next is done in person without the intervention of another. We've looked at that. Then also proceeding from a single person. That's what we have been looking at. I will trust God in this session to be able to cap it up on that, so we can go into the next definition, carried on between individuals directly, and then we finally look at being rational and self-conscious. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
So we have been looking at it, and in the previous session we understood that, you know, it has to be for Jesus to believe it, it has to be done by the Father God via the person of the Holy Spirit. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, the Godhead is one person. Amen to Jesus. And every one person, it's one person, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, have their functions and their roles. Just the same way the human being is made up of the spirit, soul, and the body. The spirit has its function. The spirit connects with the spiritual world. The soul connects with the intellectual world. And the body connects with the terrestrial world, the physical world. And everyone has its purpose. Without the body, the spirit and soul are illegal here on earth, and they cannot function. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Just like matter is made up of proton, electron, and what? Neutron. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah
to Jesus. Each one has its function. Amen to Jesus. And without their individual functions, we cannot actually carry out its purpose. Amen to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so if you look at the egg, it's made up of the shell, the white, and the yolk. Everyone has its function. Praise God forevermore. Without the three of them, the chick cannot come out. Amen to Jesus.
Yes.
But it's still one egg. Together,
yeah.
And the same way the human being is still one person. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the same matter is the same one matter. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that's why we need to understand the Godhead and its operations. There have been so many challenges. People say the Trinity is an idolatrous statement, and every of that, whatever people have to say. But we must understand that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is the Godhead, and it's one person, and everyone role is very important.
Yes.
Same way the Spirit is a person, soul is a person, the body is a person. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
But it's still one person. So understanding their roles help us, you know, work with the Lord better. You know, I remember once a particular gentleman used to come to the church, you know, we pioneered then in Nigeria, and then I used to go to the church. We had just had a roof over the head and some wood work suspending the roof, and I used to stay there from morning to night under the from morning to evening under the zinc that was hot. You know, they tell you as a pastor you have to be on ground. I would stay under that heat, you know. And there was this gentleman, he's always passed by, and he used to share fellowship with me. And, you know, I taught teacher, you know, share fellowship on the Godhead. And once he took me so much understanding on the Godhead. And by the grace of God, he enjoyed fellowship every time with us. And God also gave him to be a blessing to the ministry. Praise God forevermore. I believe that every role in the Godhead is important, and we have to maximize the role. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
At the end of the day, Jesus reveals the Father. Jesus reveals the Holy Spirit. Are you together? Are we together? Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
All right. So we've been able to understand that the Father reveals Jesus to us through the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And the Holy Spirit is Jesus on the inside of us. It's Jesus in the spirit form. We learned in our previous study that Jesus is flesh and bone in heaven at the moment. And flesh and bone cannot endure flesh and bone. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
So it takes spirit to indwell what? Flesh and blood and bone. And so Jesus said, I'll send you a comforter of the same kind, Paracletos, and that's him indwelling us, who are spirit, flesh, and blood. Amen to Jesus. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is Jesus. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus is the Father. Are we together? All right. And so, as I said, I am the Father. I want. Amen to Jesus. Amen. The Father revealed himself in the person of Jesus. Amen to Jesus. And so, basically, our journey on earth here is just knowing Jesus. Is Christ being revealed to us more and more? That's what our journey on earth is all about. Christ be revealed to us more and more. We are as followers of the Lord Jesus, we are not here to know more of ourselves. Are we together?
Yes.
We are here to know more of Jesus. More of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. As we beheld in a glass the glory of the Lord, we change into the same image from glory to glory. So our daily journey is a journey of knowing Jesus more. Are you getting what I'm saying? Knowing Jesus more. And the more we know Jesus, the more we know the Father. And the more we know the Spirit. Amen to Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a journey of continuous revelation, continuous revelation, continuous unveiling. Are we together?
Yeah.
And we can never know enough. We keep knowing. Are we together?
Yes.
And so as witnesses of Jesus Christ, our one and only topmost desire should be that Christ be what? Revealed to us by the Father God. That's all. That's our desire. That's our vision. That's our greatest desire on earth. That Christ be revealed to us more and more, more and more, more and more. And it's a glorious journey. It's an endless journey so long as we are here on earth. Are we together?
Yes.
Yeah. The journey of the revelation of Christ to us on earth ends when we sleep. Are we together? When we leave this body, that's when the journey here ends. But after here, you go on enjoying the journey. Are we together? The same way the 24 elders bow and say, holy, holy, holy. We're going to go there and we keep saying, holy, holy, holy. Yeah, the revelation of the Father. And somebody said, some people were saying, how can I just go to heaven? And all I'll do is to be singing and dancing. Oh, you don't understand. Are we together? Just the revelation of the Father alone is more than enough to take you for eternity. The revelation of the Son Jesus, the revelation of the Holy Spirit, more than enough to take you for eternity. You'll be so engrossed in seeing and enjoying the revelation, and nothing else will make sense to you. Now, people will talk like that when they've not enjoyed sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you enjoy sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus, when you enjoy fellowship, time does not tick. Moses stayed on the mountain with the Lord for 40 days. Time was not ticking for him. It's as if time was not going. 40 days he was done. He came down and he was glowing with the glory of God. And the people that were down, that were looking at time, they told him, your face is shining, cover it. Now, once you are looking at time, you will never glow with the glory of God. Moses was with the presence of God and he was not time conscious. Because when you are before God, there is no time. There is no time. It's people that are not before God that count time. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
As when the Bible says, Ephesians 5, and we pray with thousands, it's actually telling you, live in the presence of God. Because when you live in the presence of God, time does not exist to you. So you just live praying. You pray living. That's what actually happens. Praise God forevermore. As I say, pray without ceasing. You know, somebody was asking me, what is your prayer schedule? I said, I don't have a prayer schedule. Because at the time I used to pray for about a year running, I was praying 3 hours every morning, you know, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. every morning, you know. And she was trying to ask me, what is your prayer schedule? I said, I don't have a prayer schedule. I live praying. I pray living. I pray without ceasing. Are you getting what I'm saying? That prayer is fellowshipping with God. It's talking with the Lord. So you should live talking with God. Both in your soul, in your spirit, in your body. You should live as an incense to God. Talking with God. Fellowshipping with God 24-7. So actually, in the Old Testament, they prayed with watches. But in the New Testament, we don't watch. We just pray. We don't pray with watches. You know, you don't use a watch to pray in the New Testament. You live praying. You pray living. And you get what I'm saying? That's the New Testament saying, praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Alright. And so the purpose of that is that time does not count in the presence of God. Time doesn't count in the presence of God. Because there's no time in the presence of God. And the presence of God is eternity. Are we together? So basically, when God says pray with us, he wants to give us a taste of what eternity looks like. Yeah. Just want to give us a taste. And still with that, we still discover that we are not enjoying the taste of what eternity looks like. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
In eternity, we're just going to be enjoying God. And see, God is enjoyable. God is enjoyable.
God is enjoyable.
God is enjoyable.
That's a very important
thing. You know, But one of the challenges we've had is that we feel that we need to come to enjoy God where we come in corporate worship. They say we come to church, that's what we come to enjoy God. No, that's not actually where we enjoy God. We are the church. We are the living temples of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that we enjoy God on the inside. And then when we gather together, the enjoyment we've been having of God on the inside will now spread. Exactly.
Join forces together.
Exactly.
It will be heavenly.
Exactly. You know, the presence of God is contagious. If we enjoy it, it's contagious, it can spread. But when we come to church and when we gather together, we have to first ignite ourselves. It actually means that in the course of the week, we're not enjoying God. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so we have to now look for how to start enjoying Him. And that's why we have to enter into His gate with thanksgiving and into His court with praise. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. But now, if we actually have been living in His presence, having together, when we come together, we don't have to start trying to ignite ourselves by entering into His gate with thanksgiving and entering into His court with praise. Are you getting what I'm saying? We're already in the court. We're already in His presence. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we don't need to ignite that effort. Most often than not, because we all come from different,
walks of life,
we just have to first always enter with thanksgiving and negate with thanksgiving and the court with praise. But the desire for God, of God for the New Testament said, is that we live in Him. The Bible says, in Him we live and move and have our being. We live in Him. So we live in Him. We live in Him. We live in Him. So we're not trying to enter. We're already in. Are we together?
Yes.
We're already in. And that's the joy that was supposed to continuously have. Amen to Jesus. And every of this comes by, you see, Christ being revealed to us more and more. You see, the more Christ is revealed to us, the more we get to enjoy God more and more. Amen to Jesus.
Yes.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Now Jesus was revealed to Israel by the Father God for 33 and a half years in a human form, as seen in John chapter 1, verse 1, 11 and 14. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 1, 11 and 14.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 11 says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Verse 14 says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Beautiful. So we can see that for 33 and a half years, the Father God revealed the Son, revealed Himself in the Son to Israel. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, what does this make us understand? God wants to be revealed. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, anywhere you go that they give you a coded God, that is not Yahweh. Anywhere you go that they hide the God, that is not Yahweh. Anywhere you go that the God is so difficult to know, to assess, that is not Yahweh. Yahweh wants to be revealed. Are you getting what I'm saying? He wants to be revealed. He wants to be revealed. He wants man to see Him. Are you getting me? He wants man to keep knowing Him. Are we together? So God wants to reveal Himself. He enjoys revealing Himself. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even though He dwells in a light that is unapproachable to men, He revealed Himself from that light in the glory. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. The Father God revealed Himself to Israel in human form when Jesus came to the earth. Thus, Jesus told Philip, and by extension, every disciple of His, in John chapter 14, verse 9 and verse 7, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. John chapter 14, verse 9 and verse 7.
John chapter 14, verse 9. It says, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that has seen Me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? And verse 7 says, If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also. And from henceforth ye know Him, and ye and have seen Him.
Oh, you see that? It's clear here. You see that? Jesus said, How will you be asking Me, Show us the Father, when I've been here? The Father has been with you here. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Then He said, If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. That means the Father wants to be seen.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? We don't serve a God that does not want to be seen.
Mm.
You see, any God that does not want to be seen is a masquerade. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
God is not hiding His identity. He has revealed His identity. seeing the Son is the identity of the Father revealed. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
So more often than not, when we paint God as one mystical being does not want to be revealed, one mystical being that does not want to be revealed, that is not God. That is not God. That is not God. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
That's not God. Mystical being that does not want to be revealed, and a mystical being that does not want to be seen, are we together? When Moses asked the Lord, show me thy your glory, and God said, oh, this point now, nobody can see my face and live. But what did God do? He said, I will still show you something. Yeah. I'll put you in the cleft of a rock, and I'll pass by and you'll see my goodness, because I want man to see me. I want to be revealed. Now, the desire of the Father God is to be revealed. That's his desire. That's his greatest desire. His greatest desire is to be revealed. And I should also believe that our greatest desire also should be to see him.
Mm.
You see, this Christianity that we have created over the years that tells the pastors and the leaders to go and see God and give us feedback is not the Christianity that God desired. It's not the Christianity that God desired. That is the Christianity that the Israelites experienced when they told Moses, then go and talk to him. Are you getting me? Even God said, I want to talk to them. Oh, there was lightning, there was thunder, there was earthquake, because God was trying to talk. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
But they're like, no, we can't cope with this kind of speech. Are you getting me? God wanted to talk. And no matter how, let me use the word, how too heavy his voice is, he still wants to talk. That shows love. Are you getting me?
Yes.
The lightning, the thunder, the earthquake is his desire to talk and his love to communicate. But the Israelites were like, this kind of communication is too heavy for us. Moses, go and talk to him and come and give us feedback. What they did then is still what we are doing in church today.
Mm.
Pastor, go and talk to God
and come and deliver.
All we want is to collect house from God, collect car, collect money, collect wife, collect children, collect things from God. Go and talk to God and come and give us what we want. That is not the way God desires to relate with us.
You know, so like we always say, peradventure, you know, all this I want, you know, is settled by God. Or it just happens. Maybe there's a very good guy that comes into government, you know, and you're able to get your car, get your school fees, maybe scholarship.
Everything done.
So, you mean that's all, you're all done with God?
There's no need for God.
There's no need for God anymore.
So you can see that our understanding of God has been messed up somewhere. You know, I heard a story, a man of God gave the story. He said there was this guy who was traveling in a kind of light with somebody, and he was just telling him, evangelize the guy, telling him what God can do for him, what God can do, all the things God can do. The person kept quiet and allowed me to finish talking. When he finished talking, he asked him, all these things you say your God can do for you. These are all the things my government, my country can do. So why do I need you? See, are we not thinking right? We are actually not thinking right as Christians. Because if tomorrow we get a government that can do all the things we are marketing our God to do, healthcare facility, and the lights goes on.
And I feel like this is what the Antichrist is preparing himself
exactly
to offer the people.
Exactly.
It means what Antichrist offers you all these things. Then you forget about Yahweh.
You forget about Yahweh.
You feel the only reason why you need Yahweh is because it's to meet your, you know, your needs in all this sense.
You know, and that's actually not the whole idea of, you know, serving the Lord. Praise God forevermore. Yes. That's not the whole idea of serving the Lord. God wants to reveal himself to us as I am. In other words, I am your very essence.
Mm.
Are we together?
Yeah.
I am your very essence. I am your very life. I am your very being. Are we together?
Yeah.
That's what God wants to reveal himself to us as. I am your very essence. I am your very life. I am your very being. I am. Not just I am the car you need. I am the health you need. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I when I was teaching on I am a while ago, I asked the person, was teaching, and I asked him the question, okay, yeah, you were there. And I was like, what's your name? And he said, "Who are you? Who are you?" And he said, "It, I am." I said, "That is God. He's the very essence in every being." When you introduce yourself, you must always use "I am," showing the very essence of Yahweh on the inside of you. So God is, I am is bigger than your pocket. It's bigger than your needs. I am is your very essence, your very life. So when he told Moses, tell them I am, he was telling Moses, tell them the very essence of their life. So when Paul says in him we live and move and have our being, that is I am for you. I get what I'm saying? So limiting I am to, what do you call it, to provision, to protection and every of that, I think is a great undoing that we have done to ourselves in the church. And if we continue like that, we'll keep sending emissaries to God and messengers to God to talk to him and get back to us. And by the time somebody can solve all the problems that, let me use the word, we are looking for God for, are we together? We don't need God any longer. But the actual fact is that we always need God. That God is bigger than what we think we have limited into. And like I always say, Jesus did not come to give us a better house, a wife, a husband, a car. The death of Jesus was not just that. If that's all he came to do, then it's an abuse, it's a waste of death. Are you getting me? People were getting married before he came to die. People were having houses before he came to die. People were having horses, and people were wealthy before he came to die. Jesus came to give us what we cannot get for ourselves. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so I am is what my very essence that I cannot give myself. Are you getting what I'm saying? And whether you like it or not, those that believe that if you eat good food, you give birth to children. Those that believe that if you eat well, you live well. The Bible says, the book of Proverbs said, who can withhold his spirit in the day of death? When you get to that point, you realize that there is I am that actually holds your life and owns your life. And is more than what you can acquire. Amen to Jesus. And that's basically what Jesus was telling Philip. He says, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And he also makes the Father wants to reveal himself. He has been desired to speak to you. He has been desired to reveal himself. You know, God has always desired to reveal himself to man by his word, by every other way he could do his best to do that. He tried. But man has always been limited in his reception of God's revelation. That has just been the challenge. Man has always been limited in his reception of God's revelation. So that's the reason why Jesus came, to help man's limitation. And yet man remained limited. And that's why he has sent people like us to point us to Jesus. You know, my birthday, you know, one of my mentees sent a message and he said, thank you for pointing me to Jesus. You see, that's the greatest. There are other messages, the beautiful message. Thank, appreciate every one person who sent it. But you see, that message flooded my heart with joy. Thank you for pointing me to Jesus. All I want to just do all my life is to just keep pointing
to Jesus.
People to Jesus. Look at him there. Look at him there. That is Jesus. Just keep
going. Continue your relationship.
Continue your relationship. The gentleman, he's doing well. He's working with the Lord on his own. Are you getting what I'm saying? My job was just to point. And I've not stopped being a pointer. And you see, pointers are very important in everything in life. If you want to know the north, south, east, west, you need pointers. And the job of pointers are non-negotiable. A compass is a pointer. When you are in the desert, you need a compass to point you north. Life answers to pointers. And all I am is just a pointer to Jesus. And that's the greatest fulfillment I would ever have in life. You know? And so because the Father wants to be revealed, Jesus said, told Philip, the Father has revealed himself. You see me, you've seen the Father. You hear me, you hear the Father. The Father has revealed himself. He always wants to reveal himself. He keeps revealing himself. And I think every one of us should just look for more pointers. Are you getting me? And then we seek to get more revelation, you know? The Father God revealed himself. You see, if you have seen, Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have what? Seen what? The Father. He said, so no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son of God has declared him. John chapter 1 verse 18.
John chapter 1 verse 18 says, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared it.
Beautiful. You see, it's a clear and categorical statement. Mm. No man has seen the Father at any time. Moses desired to see, he couldn't see. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Father was never seen by anybody, but the Son declared the Father.
Can I use the easy English?
Please go ahead.
Easy English says, no person has ever seen God,
but
God's only true Son, who is so very near to the Father, has shown God to us.
He has shown God to us. Glory to God. I like that transition. You see, declared makes it a little complex. Complex.
But
he says he has shown us.
Shown God to us.
He says, so when you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father.
Mm.
That tells us that the Father has always wanted to reveal himself. You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, it says, the cool of the evening, the voice of the Lord walked. The voice of the Lord walked. It walked and it walks. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the same voice, what voice is the Hebrew word kol. And it means a voice. It also means a word. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so the voice that was walking in Genesis chapter 3 is the same voice that walked in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That walked the face of the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. And in verse 11 and verse 14, we see it all there. You know, the voice that walked in Genesis chapter 3 is the same voice that walked in Israel for 3.5 years. Declaring the Father, showing the Father. Are we together?
Yes.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
And so if it's the voice that walked in Genesis chapter 3, are you getting what I'm saying? The face of the earth that walked in Genesis chapter 3, which is the voice and the word of God. Actually means that the Son has the last Adam was actually speaking with the first Adam in Genesis chapter 3.
Yeah.
Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's the reason why he could actually do the work of the first Adam. He could succeed where the first Adam failed. And he came to show the Father God. You see, the revelation of Jesus can never be overemphasized, because that's a Father revealed to us. And the Father has always wanted to reveal himself, but just that we do not want to get the revelation. See, the children of Israel never wanted the revelation. The Bible says to Moses, the Father showed his ways, and to Israel he showed his what? His acts. You see, Israel was just fine with the acts. Give us the cucumber, give us the... Sometimes when we as the New Testament church complain about Israel, please let's not complain, because we are just rebranding them. We are rebranding them. That's what we are doing, rebranding them. They were asking for manna. We are asking for manna today. Give us car, house, miracle. They were asking for quail. We are asking for meat. We are just askers. We don't seek revelation. But Moses sought revelation. I've been into the teaching ministry for decades. The revelatory grace that God has placed in my life, it has been there for decades. But I see how difficult it is. Christians don't want the revelation of God's word. They want things, but they don't want
revelation.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah. What they can get aside is revelation.
Exactly. And that's just the Israelite mentality. And we are blaming them. Don't blame them. We've just rebranded them. And we are just more in number. And and when we talk about the revelation of Christ, God is not coded. The Father is not coded. He has been revealed. The apocalypse is there. There's no more mystery on. Now, another problem we have in that set of Christians is, instead of Christians that say they are getting revelation, but they are entering into another level of decoding. The people are decoding God in another dimension. You see, if God cannot be simple, from Jesus came and it was simple to be seen.
Very simple, very clear. That's why illiterate
could roll with him. He could carry an illiterate Peter. You know, and it was that serious that when he left and Peter began to manifest, he said they took note of him because he had been with the Lord Jesus, and he knew he was an illiterate. An illiterate could walk with Jesus, and they could take note of an illiterate. Now,
even though he told them parables.
Exactly.
He said parables are
stories
that are kind of concealed. Yeah. You know, they still followed him.
Exactly.
If the parables were beclouding and, you know, really, really stopping their level of literacy, they wouldn't have continued following.
They wouldn't have. They kept following. Number two, he spoke Aramaic, vernacular Hebrew. What we call him in Nigeria and Ghana, broken English, pidgin English. Jesus literally spoke pidgin English so that people like Peter, his first catch was Peter, I believe he's speaking Queen's English and Harvard English for Peter to understand. He spoke pidgin English, spoke in terms conversant with human, everybody's operations. Simple, yet profound. He was revealed as simple as it can be. That's why they couldn't even believe that he's a Messiah.
Yeah.
But when another extreme we have in church among Christians is a set of Christians who want to get a revelation that further decodes God. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
A revelation that further decodes God, that further hides him. No, God does. From beginning, God never wanted to be hidden. And he doesn't want to be hidden. So if you are revealed, if you say you are giving us a revelation of God that further hides God, you are not doing it right. The Father wants to be revealed. And he wants to be revealed in the simplest way that everybody can understand. You know, I remember some years ago, I told my elder sister, I want to go and learn more English. I was studying the dictionary to learn more grammar. And she asked me, what do you want to use for? I said, to preach. She said, what do you need plenty grammar? What do you need plenty grammar to preach for? You see, that question she asked me, it's maybe 20 years ago. I can never forget that question. Told me, what do you need plenty grammar to preach for? And after, as she told me that, I dropped the dictionary. I dropped it.
I actually heard from a man of God who said when he was starting up his ministry, he was an African. And then he got the opportunity of going abroad. When he got to the US, one of the ministers he met told him, for you to really, you know, be effective in this teaching ministry, you have to learn, you know, learn vocabularies. You know, sit down with dictionaries, sit down with books and learn vocabulary so that, you know, people will be mesmerized. And if you listen to him today, he's actually, his vocabulary, he got it, but the essence is, it limits,
you know. I remember one of my, you know, pastor friends, and he told me, that was like 2009, he told me, man of God, we're not called to impress. He said, we're called to impact. So we must be careful in our communication so that we're not impressing the people,
yeah,
not that we're impacting them. And I bless God for over the years. One of the things that God has blessed my ministry with is, they tell me it's simple. It's simple, but it's deep. But they cannot understand how it's simple, but still deep. That's what Jesus was doing.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus was doing. He was telling stories, simple stories. And so he told them, to you have been given the mystery of the kingdom. Simple stories. But yeah, the stories were deep. Because the Father wants to reveal himself. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
He wants to reveal himself. Amen. Now, to declare means to lead out. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
It means to lead out, to draw out in narrative and to unfold a teaching. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when it says this means that the Father God revealed himself in the human form of Jesus Christ. So Jesus can what? Can lead out. Are we together? Can draw a narrative and unfold the teaching of the person, nature, character, and personality of the Father God in totality.
The time is 12.
Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore. So we see that that's what Jesus actually did. He revealed, the Father God revealed himself in the person of the Son Jesus. So that Jesus could do what? Jesus could lead out, could draw a narrative and unfold the teaching of what? The person, the nature, the character and the personality of God the Father in what? Totality and perfection. So Jesus was unfolding the Father God in totality. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus was drawing a narrative of the Father God in totality and perfection. And Jesus was what? He was teaching the personality and the character. That's why I said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. What is the easiest way to teach? By example, is that not so?
Yeah.
So Jesus was telling them, by example, I'm showing you who the Father is. The Father is God. He was teaching them who the Father is. And by extension, teaching us who the Father is. Are we together? So when we see Jesus, when we learn Jesus, we are learning the Father.
Yes.
We are learning the Father. Mm. We are learning the Father. And Jesus is ever being taught by the Holy Spirit through the pages of Scriptures. Yeah. He's ever being taught. So when we open Scriptures, if you open the Bible to get anything other than Jesus being taught, you are entering into some, you know, dangerous grounds. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because this same Bible, people use it for different things. My biological father always told me that people take the Bible and they can use it for anything they want. They can support any motion they want. But you see, the Bible was not given to us to support motions. The Bible was given to us to teach Jesus.
Yes.
That's all. And when Jesus is taught, the Father is taught. So can we teach the Father? Yes. Are you getting what I'm saying? Can we teach the Father? Yes. How can we teach the Father? By teaching Jesus. It is not theology. It's not the study of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is the teaching of the Father through the person of Jesus. So when we teach Jesus, and I can at best teach Jesus by pointing you to Jesus. Are we together?
Yes.
I can at best teach Jesus by pointing you to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, so the more we teach Jesus, the more we teach Jesus, the more we teach Jesus, the more we teach the Father God. Praise the Lord forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's what the Father God wants. He wants to be revealed. He wants to be taught. He wants to be, you know, explained through Jesus. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Now this makes us understand that only the Father God could, can, and ever will be able to what? Reveal himself in totality and perfection to man.
Yeah.
So only the Father God could reveal himself. You see, like I've always said this again, and I learned it a long time ago, that religion is man's way of looking for God. And the creature can never find the creator. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But relationship is man's way, is God's way of finding man. Are we together? Now, God can only reveal himself. Only God can reveal himself. We cannot unveil God. Are you getting what I'm saying? God is not a statue that is to be unveiled. Are you getting what I'm saying? We cannot unveil God. Only God can reveal himself. So, he has revealed himself through the Son Jesus. The Son Jesus is the teaching of the Father.
Yeah.
By practical life. Bible says how God anointed Jesus with Holy Ghost and power. Who went about doing good, and God was with him. So Jesus went about. The Bible says how Jesus began to do and to teach. It was a practical life.
Mm.
Very practical. So Jesus taught the Father practically. By practicals. So when we see Jesus, the Father, we are actually receiving the lecture of the Father.
Mm.
That's all. And only the Father revealed himself. Only him can reveal himself. We cannot unveil the Father.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot. We will never be able to unveil the Father God. Are we together?
Yes.
Now, so Jesus did this while he walked the face of the earth. And he's still doing it till his second coming. Through what? The Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. And the Comforter is who? Jesus in the spirit form, in the what? In the believer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, so only the Holy Spirit can reveal the Father God to the saint in him in order for him to be able to what? To be a witness. Are we together?
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit in the saint is the only person that can reveal the Father God to the saint. Why? Because revealing the Father God to the saint is actually revealing Jesus to the saint. Jesus is the Father God revealed in practical terms. I get what I'm saying?
Okay.
In practical terms.
Yeah.
The Father God walking the face of the earth for 3.5 years in practical terms. The Father God taught in practical terms. Are you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
Now, Jesus is in heaven. Are you get what I'm saying? But he's in us in the person of his Holy Spirit. Are we together?
Yes.
And so the Holy Spirit in us, which is the Paracletos, the Comforter of the same kind, reveals the Father God in the, in other words, by revealing Jesus in us in practical terms. Are we together?
Mm.
So the teaching of the Father God, the revelation of the Father God is a practical lecture.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit keeps giving to us on his side. And that's why, you see, we must have a sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, who is the same Jesus. I get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Talk with him, because the Father God is ever revealing ever revealing. And why does the Holy Spirit, why is it the Holy Spirit that reveals the Father God to us on the inside? Because what? It's the Holy Spirit that searches the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10.
1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. It says, "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God."
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, so all the hula baloos and fights about the Holy Spirit, not knowing the person of the Holy Spirit, and every of that, you see, the Holy Spirit is Jesus in us, in the spirit form. And He searches the deep things of the Father. He searches the deep things of the Father. And by searching the deep things of the Father, He reveals the deep things of the Father to us. Mm. So the Father wants to be known. He wants to be revealed.
He doesn't want us to know Him in a shallow
way. No!
He wants us to know Him deep.
Deep. Mm. Deep. See, so when you ask me, how can I know the deep things of the Father? I, as a pointer to Jesus, cannot reveal the deep things of the Father to you.
Only
the Holy Spirit in you can reveal the deep things of the Father to you. So that's why you must build a relationship with the Holy Spirit on the inside. Who is Jesus on the inside of you? Mm. He will reveal deep things of the Father. And the deep things of the Father reveals to you may be personal to you.
Mm.
You may not need to tell them to others, but walk with the Father in that light.
Mm.
Because the Father wants to be revealed to His children.
Mm.
He wants His children to know Him.
Mm.
That's the Father God we have.
Mm.
He wants His children to know Him. And I'd encourage every one of us to please keep enjoying fellowship. Paul ended like this. He said, Philippians 3 verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death. And then he ends his writings to the Corinthians and said, "And the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit." That means there is a fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
We mostly go for the grace of God.
Yeah.
The love of God.
Yeah.
But you see, sweet fellowship. We are still playing around.
We are playing around it. And the Father cannot reveal Himself. We cannot get the revelation of the Father He has been designed to give to us if we don't enter into the third dimension, which is the dimension of the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
We thank God for the grace of God,
yeah,
the love of God. I get what I'm saying? It's just like explaining the grace of God is the outer court,
yeah,
the love of God is the inner court, but the sweet fellowship is the holies of all.
Mm.
When we enter into the holies of all, we enter into the glory of God.
Mm.
In the holies of all, there was a light that was not natural. It was not created. It was the presence of God that was that light.
Mm.
When we enter into the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we begin to see what you cannot see in the outer court.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying? No, only the priest entered into the holies of holies, and only him saw what was inside there. He's the one that comes to tell them what he sees. What we are doing in church today, we are sending the priest to the sweet fellowship, but we don't want to enter there. But you know, when Jesus died, the veil that separated the outer court from the inner court from the holies of holies was torn from top to bottom, so that every one of us can enter holies of holies for ourselves.
Yeah.
No more sending the priest to holies of holies. The holies of holies is for every one of us, so that we can enter there, enjoy sweet fellowship, and come out and tell what we see.
Yeah.
The priest only comes out and say, "In the holies of holies, this is what I saw." But they cannot ascertain if that's actually what he saw or not.
Yeah, the only thing they did with Moses, the only thing they could see is face is shining.
That's all.
And this person is glowing.
It's glowing.
After many days in the presence,
exactly.
It's not coming out weak.
Exactly.
It's not coming out worn out.
Exactly.
There's something about it, but the personal experience that made them to stand as witnesses for how long, others could not access it.
But the veil was torn so that we can move from the grace to the love to the sweet fellowship. We thank God for Bible says, Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved, not of work, neither any man should boast, the gift of God." Verse 5 says, "For by grace are you saved." Grace is the it's unmerited favor, the benevolence of God to us. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's given to everybody. Are you getting me?
Yes.
Both sinner and saint. When you receive it, you now become a saint. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then from the grace, you now begin to understand the love of God. The love of God is the mercy of God. The word mercy is the Hebrew word kesed, which means loving kindness. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, you understand it in depth. Are you getting me? We always think that mercy comes before grace, but actually grace comes before mercy. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, and actually the mercy seat was actually in the holies of all. You know, and as you walk with the Lord, you understand His love more.
Mm.
You understand His love more. The unbeliever does not understand the love of God.
Mm.
It's the first understanding of the love of God that makes him get saved. That's grace, the revelation of God's love at grace level.
Yeah.
When you get deeper with the Lord, you grow from the revelation of grace of God's love at just grace level to the revelation of God's love at mercy level.
Mm.
You see, mercy level, some of the time we think that mercy is just for the sinners. No, mercy is more for the saint.
Mm.
That's the inner court. When you go into the holies of holies, you move from mercy level to fellowship.
Yeah.
It now becomes sweet fellowship. You just want to stay with the Lord. You just want to enjoy the Lord. You just want to... Time doesn't count again.
Mm.
In fellowship, there is no time.
Yes.
In fellowship, there's eternity.
Mm.
That's why Moses went there 40 days. He was living in eternity right there. And he came out, he was looking more beautiful than those who were living in time. He was glowing because in fellowship, there is no time. In fellowship, you only have eternity.
Mm.
And you, when you enter fellowship, what God rubs off on you fully to your physical.
Mm.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
God rubs off on you from spirit to physical.
Mm.
And you just begin to manifest it. And that's a clarion call. The clarion call is a sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, because it's at that place the deep things of the Father are revealed to men, and they cannot begin to run with the revelation of the Father, and it makes their life distinct and different from every other one.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God
forever. Hallelujah. What a word. I mean I've been bubbling since, but you see, when you got to this last part of Paul's statement, it struck me there. We have been singing about the grace of God. We have been, celebrating the love of God. But we talk, don't talk slightly on the street fellowship, but we have not really, delved into this awareness.
Mm.
Because now any Dick and Harry, permit my word, uses the grace of God for anything.
Yeah.
But the street fellowship, how many of us talk about it? How many of us really are keen to what Paul was saying there?
Mm.
So this is something I believe God wants to draw our attention to as witnesses.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very difficult, if not impossible, task to be a witness. Indeed. Without sweet fellowship.
Without sweet fellowship, no.
Otherwise, you'll be touch and go.
Exactly.
So sometimes you get to, so I need to be... then before you know it, you have drawn back again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to come back again.
Yeah.
But what keeps us consistent in witnesses is that we are also consistent in our sweet fellowship. With the Holy Spirit. So this is really, really important for us. And a good point for us to take home. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I believe we've had a great time in the study of God's word today. Tomorrow is going to be another awesome day. Let's prepare ourselves. Please keep sharing this podcast with every of your loved ones, everyone you know that you have, you have in mind to spend eternity with. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And do God will bless you indeed. To end, let's have a word of prayer.
So please pray for us.
Father, we thank you, we give you praise and glory, we honor you, we celebrate you for this awesome time in the study of your word again. Father, we thank you for opening our hearts to receive your word. Thank you for this eye-opening opportunity. We ask, O Lord, that all the empowerment we need to indeed be witnesses with our life, with all that we've got, Lord, let us receive it in this season of word explosion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That we shall do better and we shall live better in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, mighty God, for in Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
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 God bless you. Beloved, thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email, chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I'd love to request
If you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Komi Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 033-154-55-12013. With SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. And to give in cedis, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 033-254-551-2017. And to give in naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria. Account number 554-102-0592. For further inquiries and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233-54-594-7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.